in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17. And although I haven't been to verse 16, I'm not doing that because the thought in verse 16 has been expressed a few times in previous verses. So I'm going to verse 17 this morning. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, if you remember, last week we were talking about how God kept us and how the Lord Jesus Christ had prayed for us in his high priestly prayer. He prayed that we might be kept from the evil. And for some time in the morning, remember, we worked out what that evil was. Not always what we think is evil, depends how we use the term. And ultimately, we come to this kind of conclusion, that final evil is that which can harm my soul. I may describe many things as evil, but I give it a limited meaning. But the evil would be that which could destroy or spoil my fellowship or separate my soul from God. And so the prayer is this. It is that my soul might be kept from the evil. Now there are many things in life, and remember we went through a list, many things we have to suffer in this life, many afflictions, many storms, many difficulties, trials and temptations. We might wonder why God has left us in this world rather than take us to himself. And yet he has done, because it is the only place where we can learn of him. And for each difficulty and for each trial, there is a grace. And if you remember, I quoted various verses. And for loneliness, for example, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But for each difficulty, there would be its grace that was related to it. And so you might say, well, has God prayed that I should never be tempted? No, the Lord hasn't prayed that I should never be tempted. He grants that I will be tempted, but not more than I'm able to bear, and will thereby provide a means of escape. And so there is acknowledged in the Bible that I will go through many of these things, but equally with it, there is a promise that I might be given grace to overcome in each situation. But with my soul, no harm shall ever come to a believer's soul. There is no trial, there is no temptation. There is no onslaught of Satan. There is no power in earth or in hell that is able to harm the soul of a child of God. That's a great comfort. So that whatever you and I may be going through, we have this prayer of the Lord which is answered. Keep them from the evil. He preserveth thy soul. He brings us this thought indeed that we might be much comforted by this. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. And we can sing then, especially some kind of hymns, with great enthusiasm. There are some hymns that naturally you and I sing with a quietness, not because we don't like them, we do like them, but because they speak to our hearts, and they search us as well, and with humility and quietness, we sing these hymns in that way. Then there's another kind of hymn. You can almost call it a robust hymn in one sense, because we are declaring something which we know is true. Whatever our failings may be as Christians, whatever difficulty we may be in, however poor our witness may have been, however unsatisfactory we may have been in the regarding of the law of God, yet we know we are the child of God. This we know. He preserveth my soul. So hymns that say that my name from the palms of his hands eternity will not erase warm our hearts. Or the more popular kind of hymn perhaps, with marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We can sing with great enthusiasm because however slow we may be in our spiritual growth, we know that that is true. He will keep me from the evil. And so, he gives a new life to verses like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Listen to these lovely words that I saw this week. Afraid to die, the child of grace redeemed by Jesus' dying love, afraid to go behold his face, afraid to tread the courts above, afraid to fling to nature's nights mortality's cold and troubled breath, afraid to take the soaring flight robed in a Savior's righteousness. The eagle bird of strength and light fears not to lay his plumage by, and with new wings attempts his flight. And shall a Christian fear to die? Even if an eagle has a certain confidence, surely our confidence is greater. Afraid to die when robed in Jesus' righteousness, afraid to die when leaning on his promises, hardly so, shall a Christian fear to die? He preserveth my soul. So rising in the midst of this prayer, like a great pinnacle, like a Mount Everest amongst the mountains, he shall keep thee from the evil. There, with that thought, he comes then to verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Why? He's saying, our country is heaven. We're marching to Emmanuel's land, our country is heaven. And then, as he came back and he looks upon them in this world, oh Father, sanctify them, prepare them. Sanctify them through thy truth. There are many burdens in this prayer of our Blessed Saviour. There are three great parts that come out, or three great burdens here, that I'd like to mention to you. He has prayed already that we should be preserved from all evil whilst we are in the world, that evil. He's also prayed in this verse that we should be sanctified through the truth. And in verse 24, he prays that you and I shall behold his glory. Do you think of that sometime? I forget the number of the hymn now, and I'm not sure if it's in the other hymn book we had, or in this one, if it's number 5. No, it is this one. Listen to this lovely verse. He by himself has sworn, I on his oath depend. I shall on eagle's wings upborne to heaven ascend. I shall behold his face, I shall his power adore, and sing the wonders of his grace forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? I shall behold his face, I shall his power adore, and behold the wonders of his grace forevermore. And in the context of that, he is saying, sanctify them, O Father, sanctify them through thy truth. All whom he will glorify shall be sanctified through the truth, and those who are sanctified are kept from the evil in the world. Now, how important is sanctification? You know the various terms. If we have a person born again, we talk of growing in grace. If we have a person described as justified in Jesus Christ and in his blood, we have sanctification. Same thing there. Or, if we describe it like this, that my salvation is the imputed righteousness of Christ upon me, and dressed in beauty and not my own, then my life in Christ is imparted righteousness. There are many terms in the Bible that we can get and have a similar meaning to them. Sanctification, our involvement with God, our progress with him, the dealings with God in our lives. How important. Well, let me read you some verses, and I could really read dozens here, but I've chosen just a few. 1 Peter 1 verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Our sanctification by the Holy Spirit is a result of our sanctification in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctifying us is a result of something already achieved in Jesus Christ. Now then, look at these verses. Ephesians 1 verse 4, that we should be holy. Or Romans 8 verse 29, conform to the image of his Son. Or here is a very clear one, Titus 2 verse 14, If redeemed by the Son, it is that we might be redeemed from all iniquity and purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What then is the meaning of sanctification? May I take you now to that part of scripture that we read at the beginning? I'd like you to look at it with me. That's Ezekiel 36. And there we have the full meaning of sanctification. It is a very comprehensive one. Now this includes two things. Sanctification is the setting apart of a Christian for special purposes. That's the first meaning. It's you and I now, as a child of God, are set apart for special purposes. Now the other part of the meaning of the word sanctification is this, and sometimes overlooked. We are set apart for God to communicate blessings and goodness and virtue to us. Two things then. Set apart by God, and then a communication from God into his people. Now listen to these verses, because they are important ones. Ezekiel 36, beginning round about 23. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. And you remember why? Not because of Israel will I sanctify my name, but because it is my name. That's well worth remembering. Now you see, you and I as the children of God, not only will God do a work of sanctification in us because we are the children of God, that also is there, but because he will not have his name profaned by us. He will have his name honored. He will not allow it. That is, the wrath of God is about this, in that he will not have any discredit brought to his name. So now there is a great involvement between God and his people. That's why we are miserable when we are disobedient. That's why we are terribly restless when we are backsliding. Because God's hand is upon us in great displeasure, because his name must be sanctified in us. It's not only for our own benefits and for our own happiness and joy, but the name of God is involved here, and the jealousy of God for his own name. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Here's a communication. I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now there is a sevenfold communication here of this bestowal of this blessing. Here are the stages, and you'll find them in the verses this afternoon. Firstly, I will take from among the heathen, I'll take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. I will separate you. I will take you out. The next thing, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Here we are now in a right relationship with God. A new heart will I give you. My heart, stony heart, is taken away. A new heart will I give you. Next, the fourth thing. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will put my spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Same as in the New Testament, that we are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called by the Holy Spirit. We find that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in this great task of making his people holy. Never a popular teaching, never has been. Always the more popular has been, even in evangelical churches, is a great declaration, unnecessary and important, of that initial experience. Happy day, that fits my choice. Wonderful. And also, popular is this, day of judgment, my name is secure. Wonderful truth. Or when we say, when he shall come the second time in glory, and we are thrilled as Christians as a thought of this. A
And when it gets down to every day, sanctify through thy truth. Here is a daily walk in our situations, in our difficulties, in a perverse world. The lust of the heart, the attacks of Satan, daily we are molested by these, and here we must shine, and here the lily must grow, and here we must flourish. In this world, he leaves us here for reasons known to himself and some displayed to us. I leave you here, but whilst you are here, I pray this, that you may be sanctified through the truth. Now there are two senses of the word sanctification. There is one where the sanctification is already complete. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There is that sense where we are able to say, I this morning am complete in him. That's a wonderful truth. We are complete in him. God looks on us as found in him by justification, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. All is complete in him. And sanctification is there. Now there is another aspect of sanctification which we term progressive sanctification. And people often confuse the two. Some will not allow one or not allow the other. But both are there. Our sanctification, if we are believers this morning, already is complete in Christ. And praise God for that. And still in this world. And still in a world of difficulties, evil thoughts, evil desires, temptations within and without, all these. So now I need progressive sanctification, my growth in grace. I may read again to you Titus 2, verses 11 to 14, or just pick out. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, zealous of good works, and occupied. There's a progression here where I should deny ungodliness and live soberly and righteously where? In this present evil world. And lastly, the means of sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. It's a remarkable phrase. This book I have before me. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is through the truth the love of God is revealed and shed abroad in our hearts. This is how it happens. The truth is the instrument by which the Holy Ghost is ministered to our souls. Is that clear? The truth is the instrument by which the Holy Ghost and applying the truth is ministered to our souls. Listen to verses like this. Peter 1 verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now what is the effect of the truth, the word of God, upon our minds, our hearts, and our conduct? In Ephesians 2, a few verses, round about verse 23, he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, I'm doing this constantly, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Or earlier in this book, John 15, verse 3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He realizes this, you are already clean, you are sanctified, yet his desire is that there might be a constant realization in our lives of this cleaning and of this sanctification. Now doesn't this bring us to how important the Bible is? How important is this book to you? There are many dangers. There are dangers, of course, in ordinary liberal theology, where they take the Bible as a kind of an aside and they have their own thoughts and their own philosophies. But we too, you know, can do something very similar. We can regard the Word of God as a very important word, and then have a feeling the Word, and quite rightly, is in order that I may know Him. Now, is there a danger there? Yes, there is one. In this way, supposing I take the attitude, here is the Word of God that teaches me that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and so on, all these great things, and it is in order that I may know Him. Now I know Him. I needn't bother so much with this now. I'm all right. I've gone now into the depths of Christ. I've launched into the deep. I've been launched into the deep of experiences and feelings. I'm all right. I know this. Now there is that danger as well. Some ignore it before coming to it. Others ignore the Bible after coming to it. There are many dangers. And this Bible is the Word of God. Listen to this sentence that I saw in a commentary. The Bible of God is as true as the God of the Bible. That's quite a thought, isn't it? The Bible of God is as true as the God of the Bible. If that is so then, it is small wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The call now is surely for us to take more seriously this word of God. In Acts 20 verse 32, in a parallel speech, we have this word said, now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Listen to it, to this word. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Can you see how closely related these are now? God himself and the word of God.